Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Grand Rising. And thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. Well, we have with us today a fantastic group of men, because today is our men-only discussion. And in just one moment, we're going to be joined by our co-host and our American Muslim 360 family on AM 360, joining with the Female Solution today to talk to a wise group about anger. And this is an important discussion because so much of our family relationships has to do with how we handle anger with those we love. We've talked for the last several weeks about issues of domestic violence and depression, and so many of our guests have revealed the fact that this time of turmoil is taking its toll on their relationships. So every fourth Saturday of the month, we are joining our co-host Kareem Hamid and a group of men to discuss anger. So we're going to take a short break and bring in our co-host, and we invite you, the women, to listen in. Now, of course, afterwards at the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have a 30-minute after show to review what we've learned. So sisters, just stay tuned, sit back, relax, listen, and men, if you want to call in, dial 515-605-9891. We've got some of our brothers on the line now. We're going to, of course, connect you to our host, Kareem Hamid, and we want you to listen and learn as the men discuss anger. So we'll be right back after this quick break. And again, if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. If you're a woman, you want to listen in. Men, if you want to participate, 515-605-9891. And just press 1 to let our host know you have something to say, because we want to hear your thoughts, and we're going to bring in our co-host, Kareem Hamid, to facilitate this discussion today. And we'll be back in a moment.
So once again, we, Naima, Assalamu alaikum.
Yep.
We are, two radio stations linked up with each other, and we are grateful for this technology to be
Yes, we are. And Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum, and peace be upon all you all who are listening in. We are grateful to be a part of this discussion today to step back and let you all discuss. Now, we have three participants on my line. I've opened their mics, and I want to make sure that I let them know. And welcome into our show. We have Dr. James Anyike, an author, a reverend, a revered member of the community, joining us today. And we have L.A. Davis, definitely one who is no stranger to our show, coming to us from Florida. And we have Mark Saeed, who, of course, we all know and love, the facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage series and the Parenting Learning Lab series. And these three men are on my switchboard. I've opened their mics so that you can speak to them. And I am going to step back after this brief introduction. And, of course, we're live on the Female Solution Facebook page. But one of the things that we want to listen to as women is to understand the deep emotions that men have, often provoked by a hostile society. And as the significant others, wives, as partners, and those who are trying to be nurturing, often we're not as sensitive to what we may be doing to create that anger. And this is a society that does not nurture African-American men in a way that encourages their highest sense of self-esteem. So men depend on women to be that encouragement, and sometimes we may be unconscious of the things that we're doing in not understanding why the men are often angry. So we want to talk about that, and we'd like you to of course, give each man a chance to give their background on who they are and what they do to help raise consciousness. But we also want to understand some of the experiences they may have had in their relationships that triggered anger, so that we can understand how we are affecting them. And, of course, we look forward to discussion. And for those of you who are listening in who have not yet met me, I'm Naima Latif, and our co-host Kareem Hamid is facilitating this discussion today, the men-only discussion on anger. And we have this our American Muslim 360 radio family as well. So, Brother Kareem, we will take it away. And, of course, men, microphones are open, so go right ahead.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God, Allah, and I'm grateful for our esteemed guests that have volunteered to participate in this wonderful conversation. What have sparked this interest in me, this concern in me, is that, you know, we have had movies produced about us, the African-American male. Books have been written about us. Documentaries presented about us. Even the subject on college campuses about the African-American male. We have been talked to. We've been when I say, yeah, talked to, talked at, talked under, talked over. But I believe it is necessary that we, the subject matter, that we talk to each other. Everyone has expressed their opinion of us, but they are not us. I believe it is very therapeutic that we have an honest and open conversation with each other. So, the only requirement for being a part of this conversation is to have the courage to be gut-level honest, to not embellish our statements, to, yes. So it is important that we be honest, not try to somewhat save face. You know, I've heard it said you can save your face and lose your bottom, you know, and lose your bottom. So I believe that it is important, since we have been a subject matter that have been written about, movies made and everything, that we, the subject matter, the African-American male, that we have an honest and open conversation with each other about ourselves and all that is connected to us and comes with that. Now, prior to us opening up the lines, my statements will be brief, but I want to truly set this stage properly. You know, let us leave our Afro male proclivities. Check that at the door. Our desire to be a dominant, please curtail that. I know our nature, but we need to curtail that in relationship with each other. I want to share something with you. This will somewhat set the stage for this conversation. This is a statement from one of our past great freedom fighters, Dr. Martin Luther King. I would ask that we listen very intently at what he says here, if we would, please.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. High, please. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Wait a minute. Hold on one moment. That's not what I wanted. Let me see if I can go back. Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on, please.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennesonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in the dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Okay, and we are back. I wanted us to hear especially that part where our beloved freedom fighter said, no one can do this for us. No one. That we have to reach down into our soul with our self-asserted manhood. Our self-asserted, self-motivated manhood, and reach down into our soul and write our own Emancipation Proclamation, that no one can do this for us but us. We should stop looking for a savior. We are the savior that we've been looking for and waiting for. Our own selves. Self-asserted man. Don't let nobody, and I like it when he says, don't let nobody take your manhood away from you. Manhood. Manhood. One that protects and maintains all that is under his charge. That's the male role. Maintain and protect. That's your manhood. When someone else is maintaining us and we're looking for someone else to protect us, we are men like other men on this earth. So that manhood has to be defined. Manhood is not to be a brutal, violent brute. That is not a statement of manhood. That's the statement of a savage and an animal. Manhood is not equated with unfeeling, being cold-hearted with no emotions, no mercy. That is not that. That is how we, the perception that the powers that we have given concerning manhood. That man is sensitive. Man is a sensitive, emotional, feeling creature. And we feel a sense. A sense of inherent. There's an inherent nature within us to want to maintain, to be responsible for caring for something and protecting that something, be it ourselves, our wives, our children, our neighborhood. It is inherent. It is there. It is inside of us. So with that in mind, I want to make another statement. of words that have tried to identify this environment that we're in. We hear the term Western civilization. Western civilization. In the word civilization, the first thing you hear is civil. Civil. You cannot have a civilization unless there is civil behavior. Civil behavior. How one treats his or herself and how one treats other people. Civil behavior. Civilized behavior. Now you have a civilization. But based upon what we have experienced in this so-called Western civilization, we can bear witness that there has not been civil behavior toward one another. Ask the indigenous people. Ask the Irish that came to this country. And let's ask ourselves, is this a civilization? Just because we can build beautiful skyscrapers that looks us to almost reach into the clouds. We have all of this explosion of science and technology. These are blessings, but that does not denote a civilization. A civilization begins with civil behavior. And it begins in the home. Civilization begins at the home is the nucleus of civilization. The relationship between husband and wife is the beginning of civil behavior. And civilization. Civilization gets its birth right inside of the home in the relationship between male and female, between husband and wife. And children are exposed to that, and they are shaped and formed by that civil behavior that they see as a model in front of them, and they are encouraged to copy and model that civil behavior. So we have the unique opportunity. We have the unique opportunity to truly establish a civilization for real. We can establish a civilization, but it begins how we treat ourselves and one another. Civil behavior right within our homes. And inshallah, that is God willing, as we do this, it will grow. Our children will be examples of who we are and what we displayed and how we behaved in their presence, especially toward one another. With that in mind, I want to see how we feel about establishing a civilization. Praise be to Almighty God. Before we move forward, yes. Well, no. Let's go straight to the lines. There is much. And any subject matter that you men want to introduce into this honest and open conversation, please introduce it. But as I stated earlier, it is important that we be gut-level honest. I wish that we were truly, truly in a room, truly by ourselves, and no one was listening to us. and we're not concerned about how someone else will feel or think about us based upon what we say, that we be honest. I want to begin this here with the with how we were formed. I want to ask this question, and Naima, you can open up the mic on that side. I have one guest with me now. Muhammad is always with me. Praise be to Allah. He is always with me here on American Muslim 360, and we're grateful for his contribution. But can we express what was the relationship between your mother and your father? Please be honest. So I'll go and let's keep our statement, please, direct and to the point. We do not need to hear any sermons. We do not need to hear any sermons. We've had enough sermons, but we're not acting on sermons. We need to be gut-level honest, and let's talk flat-foot to one another, man to man. And not embellish and try to show how heavy we are and all of that. That's out. That heaviness, we're still on the bottom rung. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Let's talk man to man. Okay, I'm going to open up the lines of Muhammad here. Please, Muhammad, take a few moments. I know there's much you would like to say, but we want to give others on the other studio board a time to express themselves. What was the relationship? What was displayed before you between your mother and your father? Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Coming from a single-parent home, at the age of 13, after already being from my mother's own mouth, that I got on everybody's nerve because I was interested and was always trying to talk the truth. I was called Big Head and all kinds of things, but she always told me that the truth will get you in trouble. So at 13 years old, when I turned to what we did at that time, I seen the works of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala working on my community, the men and women in my community who were going to jail and this and that and abusing each other, et cetera, you know, and I've always was striving to be a good provider to my mother. We come from a family of 14 people, you know, and at 7, 8 years old, I used to go to the fairground with holes in my shorts, washing cattle and pigs, just so I can let my mother know that I was concerned about her struggle to feed 14, well, at that time, about 12, 89 kids who was at home. And I wanted to know that I wanted to be a man, you know, to do that, but I needed help. And this was the reason why I seen in the Nation of Islam, not what it was doing for necessarily our color, but I seen the works of God by his permission. So I joined the Nation of Islam for all good reasons. My color, my identifier, a new identity, but mainly because I've seen Allah help our people here in the United States of America better than any other community I have seen. When my mother seen me made that move, she was so upset, you know, that she done everything in her motherly power to try to get me to turn back on what I considered that God was showing me a clearer way. She even threw my clothes out on the street. But anyway, fast forwarding, I told her this makes a man of me. This will make a man of me if I do what this man is telling us about how to be a man and our responsibility to the family, which I was already doing. But I can do it with dignity. So at the end
thank
of
you,
all the years,
Muhammad.
Yeah, I was going to say one more
thing
because it's all right.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Please, we have
one,
others on
yeah.
that I truly want them to be able to express themselves,
yes,
please.
I will. So on my mother's dying spirit, she told me, she said, you keep on being Muhammad. And that was the greatest relationship I ever had with my mother. After all those years of struggling with her, been worried about me getting hurt, being a black man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But on her dying bed, she told me.
Thank you, Muhammad. I'm expressing to you that I'm under time restraints. Thank you, my brothers, for sharing. Okay, I want to call on Dr. James and Yiki on your studio board name, if you would, please. Dr. James and Yiki, if he would, a brief introduction, and may he share with us, inshallah. Naima?
Oh. Yes, your mic is open. Go ahead. Dr. James and Yiki, your mic is open. Take your mute. Your mic is open. Go ahead, your mic is open. Check your mute. Are you on? Your mic is open.
Can you hear me now? Good morning.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Right.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Good morning. Yes. Peace and blessings to both of you. Thanks so much for this opportunity to share this precious time together. I am pastor of Scott United Methodist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. But more specifically, as it relates to the topic, I just wrote a book last year, published it, called Black Love. And the purpose of this book and the other writings that I've done more recently deal with healing and developing relationships through shared values on what I call systematic agapism, which means black love. So to get to the heart of the matter, well, two things about why we are angry, and then the other thing of manhood, I think to a large degree, when I think about myself, because one of the questions that was in the description that was sent to me is what makes me angry? One of the things that makes me angry is, of two things. One is to be misunderstood, especially when you feel like you properly, you know, defined yourself or defined who you are in the presence of others who say they care about you, and then to be misunderstood, that gets on my nerves. The other thing that upsets me probably equal is to know myself and then to not reach or meet my own standards. And so those are the things that make me angry. I think that in some ways that's also why we as black men get angry sometimes, because we feel like we're not heard or understood properly, or we are misunderstood, and or we feel as if we've been disrespected in society in some way. And sometimes we are frustrated because we have not done what we need to do. Dr. Francis Cress Wilson used to talk about what would happen if black men stood up, what would happen if black men got their thing together, what would happen if black men rose up. And so I would love to see that happen, but I think our sense of doubt be the case is frustrating to us, and I think that's a big part of our underlying anger. And so if we are to be men, I mean, there are a number of things. Certainly we got to take care of our families, our children, and we have to be that presence of protection and strength in our communities, because that's a big part of what's missing and why our society is in so much turmoil.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for your honest sharing. That was very valuable sharing the frustration that we express sometimes. It come out in different ways, and sometimes it is destructive. But yes, to be able to say it out loud, mm-hmm. to be able to say it out loud, I believe is very, yes, and to hear it out loud.
Mm.
Thank you, my beloved Dr. Aniki. Praise you,
quite
well. Almighty God, for you.
I said.
Okay, Naima, I want to call on my beloved brother Mark Shaheed. I'm so looking forward to hearing from him. He's on your studio board. If he would give a brief introduction of himself and then share in the commentary of the subject matter that we are discussing this morning.
Mm-hmm. His call dropped. I'm going to try to get him back.
Okay, if you could move forward, then get another guest, if you would, please.
And let me check on.
Is L.A. Reed with us?
And I think L.A.
I always look forward to hearing from L.A.
Is
L.A. Davis? Yeah.
Yes.
L.A. Davis, is he there?
But perhaps, and while I'm seeking to get those calls back that dropped, we might hear a bit more about Dr. Anyike's book, Black Love, and, you know, what motivated him to write that. There were some personal experiences that may have motivated him to write that book.
Absolutely. The key thing is, you know, in Christianity and in other segments of society, we talk about agape love. And agape love is that non-conditional love. It's that love that you're supposed to just give, especially in the Christian context. Agape is supposed to be shared among Christians regardless of race or age or gender or whatever the case may be. But when it comes to the history of Black folk in America, agape love failed. White folk enslaved us. White folk mistreated us. Even for those white folks who call themselves Christians, in the face of other folk, Black folk, who call themselves Christians too, that love failed. So agape love is not enough. There needs to be a special context for love. And so systematic agapism seeks to present an opportunity for us to love based on Black folks' history, Black folks' culture, and our other conditions that make us unique in terms of who we are. So agape love or systematic agapism specifically means Black love, loving ourselves and those who love us in light of our culture, in light of our condition, in light of our history and our shared values.
Yes. You know, I have a book here that my eldest daughter mailed to me when she heard that we was going to have these type of sessions on the female solution. And it is entitled Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Emmanuel Acho. Some of you are familiar with him. And some of this, he expresses the exchange of ideas. The exchange of ideas, styles, and traditions is one of the tenets of a modern multicultural society.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of how we grow, learn, advance. The cultural appropriation is something else. Cultural appropriation happens when members of a dominant group, particularly in the United States, Caucasians, they take elements from the culture of a people who are disempowered.
Mm-hmm.
It's problematic for a number of reasons. For one, it trivializes historic oppression.
Mm-hmm.
It also lets people show love for a culture while still remaining prejudiced toward the people of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
It lets privileged people profit from the labor of oppressed people.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, it can perpetuate racist stereotypes. You know, the hip-hop genre.
Mm-hmm.
That began at the street level. And it was speaking to the social condition. It was a curative measure, speaking to the social condition in a cultural expression of poetry. It was the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
And we see how that genre has been taken over by those that did not create that genre, and they have directed it in that direction for which it was not aimed at. They have took that genre, weaponized it, and pointed it back at us. This is some of the frustration that I feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what we're seeing, what is shaping our youth? Is this art imitating life? Or is this life imitating the art?
You know, I could say what you just conveyed is another symptom of an even larger problem. Certainly we've been beat down and we've been manipulated and we've been miseducated and misinformed and misdirected and distracted in so many different ways over the years, almost to the point where those who abuse us, those who harm us have become experts at it. They know exactly what they're doing, and they do it in a way with such ease that we have learned to participate in our own manipulation and our own abuse. And so when you think about the music and the language and the lyrics that come with that music, a lot of it is self-abuse and demeaning to us. In fact, a lot of the distributors of that music won't distribute it unless it has that element of self-abuse. And we have to, as men, I'm saying now, we have to step up. And I know in my own family with my children, they know that if they are listening to music, daddy going to ask them. Now, my children are all grown now, but they knew I would ask, what are you listening to? And sometimes I take the headphones right off the head and put it on my ear to make sure that what they are listening to does not tear them down. And so again, the larger issue then becomes, what are we doing to control our homes? What are we doing to control our communities? What are we doing to protect them? And I'm saying that this music and these other types of self-abuse are able to stand because, to a large degree, we are not standing up as men.
Yes. Yes. You know, we have to cure this silent, somewhat unspoken war between the African-American male and the African-American female. There's have been a tension placed between us that we're finding it hard to work as one unit.
Yes, sir.
As one unit, to have the best condition in our homes and the best nurturing of our children.
Mm.
Male ego, women's lib, women's liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And it has subtly
mm-hmm.
established tension between us. We will not be able to advance on the way of civilization, as I stated earlier,
mm-hmm.
until we first see ourselves as one unit, the male and the female, as one part, and share the best of ourselves with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not your enemy, and you should not be mine. The health and well-being and nurturing of our children should be a primary concern, number one priority as parents. You know, and let me say this, how we think, how we, our reference of thinking have come from a foreign entity. A foreign entity. We were shaped and molded in a unique condition called slavery. If we forget slavery, if we forget how we began, we would be a foolish people. I'm not saying out of anger and all of that, but from a scientific, psychological education of what can happen to the thinking of a people placed in those circumstances and given artificial rules to live by. Artificial rules to live by. We are still affected by that. I don't care how many degrees we have, how smart we think we are. Have we ourselves examined ourselves from a clinical standpoint? That frustration that you mentioned, that frustration is due to a lack of the original nature that God placed in the male and the female. They gave us artificial disciplines to operate by. They are telling us right in front of our face at this time, the powers that be are telling the human being right in front of his face what has been done to him and what is being done. That verbiage of artificial intelligence, we are hearing that. AI, artificial intelligence. Now, what are they referring to? They are truly referring to robotics. We can get a machine to function, to do this specific task. We can program this machine, and it will perform a task. That is robotics. But why would they call it artificial intelligence? They are telling us we have given you an intellect. We have given you a way of thinking, an intelligence that is artificial. It is not the original pattern of thinking. It is not the original nature that God placed within every human being. We have given you an artificial perceiving yourself and the world. They are saying that right in front of our face. So this conversation that we're having now as men, I have identified or stated some of what that male means. Male means is to be able to maintain, to take care of, to provide for all that is under our charge. That includes the wife, the children, the home, the block, the neighborhood, the society. But we didn't think, well, they ain't going to let you do that. And who is that they?
You know, Dr. Martin Luther King.
Oh, now you're getting Uh-huh.
Yeah, Martin Luther King had another quote that I think should be quoted more often than it is, and that is, if a man can't ride your back unless you're bent. and to a large degree, we stay bent out of our own selfish interest. We want what makes us feel good. We want I'm talking about black men again. What makes us look good? We almost like children in some ways, you know. And for that reason, we are afraid to rise up, to stand up, to put it all on the line, to risk it all, if you will, to do all those things that we're supposed to do. So, in many of our communities, black women are single parents in more than 75% of our households. That's an issue of black men, not an issue of black women. That's our failing. And it's a total failure of the people. And, you know, one of the key things that my studies have focused on over the last few years is shared values. We are not together because we don't share the same values like we used to. If you go back 50 years ago, black men and black women and the whole community at large shared certain values, and we have lost that sense of shared value. And that's why we've lost our relationship to one another.
I agree. At this time, Naima, I want to pause for some important public service announcements. And we welcome everyone that is listening to The Female Solution. And we are grateful to all that are participating in this wonderful conversation. So we'll pause at this time. Naima, if you are hearing me, we shall pause for station identification and some important public service announcements. We ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. You're listening to American Muslim.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Uh-huh. I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Unmuted.
Alhamdulillah.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesday, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesday, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursday, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Friday, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturday, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back.
And we are. Yes, ma'am.
Our guest, Dr. Enrique, had to leave. Of course, he did say he would be able to be with us for the first hour. And our other guest, L.A. Davis, he had to leave also. He had an emergency come up. However, it was quite a conversation, and I think one of the things that you both brought out was the fact that this society has been very unsupportive, so that means we have to be supportive of each other. And as you pointed out, there's this unspoken war going on. You know, a lot of people blame slavery, but we were functioning before enslavement, and we made some errors that caused us to end up in slavery. And we have to face that, and I think that's perhaps something that is difficult yet painful for us to do as a people, is to take responsibility for creating the conditions that caused us to end up in the condition we ended up in, because that still exists. So perhaps perhaps for the second hour, do you have others that have on your line that would like to speak?
Okay, let me invite the males that are on the AM360 studio board. You can be a part of this conversation. We invite you. The only prerequisite is that you be honest, and you mentioned something that is true, Naima, that coming out of slavery, the coming out of slavery, there was a strong family bond. Members of the family that had been sold to other states, separated from the family nucleus, and sold into other states like Mississippi or New Orleans, wherever. Upon emancipation, those family members would seek out each other. Many of them walked for miles to go and retrieve their family member. marriage was very important. The family was very important coming up out of slavery. So something has happened between slavery and now. Our families were stronger. We may not have had great wealth and all of that, but families worked as a unit for the health of the family. Now, this is not everyone, but that was the prevailing circumstance. Now, we move into materialism.
We have a comment. Darbara Watkins on Facebook said, she quotes, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And she says, "Men are not to find a lover, girlfriend, baby mama, sex partner, whore, or prostitute, or a child, or another man." So that was her statement that she said, men were created to provide and protect. Well, so I guess the question is, what happened in that transition from what you're speaking of, you know, our intense desire to pull our families together after the enslavement experience? What happened in the breakdown over these last few generations? I know the first question you asked was, what was the relationship between your parents? We've had about three generations of fatherless homes and men who just didn't know what a family looks like in a healthy sense. So how do we fix that? Because right now, the generation right now, many of the stats are 70% of children are growing up in single-parent, often female-headed households, and the healthy respect for women is gone. So how do we fix that?
First off, the doctor that spoke, praise be to God for his contribution. He mentioned something that was very important, shared values. Shared values. To marry someone and there is not an honest expression of your value system, of a way of behavior, a way of thinking, that which you hold sacred. Shared values. You know, some men look at a female and he looks at her from a strictly physical vision. Strictly physical. And you will marry her based upon her physicality, with no idea of the inner content. Also, women, see, this cuts both ways. No one sex is at fault. We have to recalibrate our standards. We have to recalibrate our standards and our judgment system of how we judge a thing. It's not just on males. Females can look, oh, he's cute. Oh, yeah, he's so handsome. Okay, he's driving this. He's driving that. Material. Outer. An outer expression. The outer covering. Without having a clue that the greater life is the content of that person, their character. Are they trustworthy? Do we share the same values? Now, if some woman can twerk, you know what I'm saying? Look at how the female have been reduced to twerking. That is the movement of a dog in sex. and the male have been reduced to where he has no more pride for himself. He'll walk around with his behind exposed. What happened? How did we get here? We got. I have an idea that we were taken off course by this explosion of material accumulation. We had a sense of morality. We had a sense of right and wrong. If someone was identified as a thief, we avoided that person. If a woman was seen as what we would call a fallen woman, sometimes the elderly women would get with her and talk to her. Come here, baby. Let me talk to you. Let me straighten some things out here. So, but when this movement from an agrarian economy, where it takes the whole family to operate a farm, to grow food, that was a group effort. When the industrialization came, industrialization, mass produce, and the idea of commercialism, make a commercial, create a desire within the population to want this thing. And unless you possess this thing, you are out of the norm. The human beings started racing toward the accumulation of things that is tied to their human worth. The human worth is you cannot buy human worth. It is an internal working. It is internal. It is your moral nature. It is your character. I will not fall down to the level of an open liar and not feel no remorse from that. So we, not just us, the human beings started running at material accumulation and left their soul behind.
Well, we've got
that's
a caller.
That's part of the problem. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, please.
Well, we've got a caller that would like to weigh in on this. We speak of the elder sisters kind of pulling aside some of these young women. Well, we've got one of our dear elders that shares her wisdom every fourth Saturday of the month, Mama D, and we certainly need some wisdom today. How do we fix this problem? Grand Rising to Mama D. Thank you for joining us.
Hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers and Solutionary Grand Rising. You know, I was thinking one of the things that went wrong big time when we had First Lady Michelle Obama go on national TV and say she had three children, two girls and a boy named Bo. Bo was a dog.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about her mother. That would have been kind of bad.
Okay. I said, what? I said, do you know what the mother of a dog is?
Ooh.
It's a bitch. It's a bitch.
Oh.
So you just went on national TV and said that you were the mother of a dog, man's best friend. God spelled backwards. That was big time.
She probably didn't even think about that. You know, trying to make jokes about the dog probably didn't even cross her mind that people would have seen it that way.
But the fact that she could even say she had two girls and a dog, that she could put her children in the same category with the four-legged beast. get that.
Well, guess what? She was formulated.
They replayed it how some people got it. You know, they replayed it on the news and on other stations because some people got it. You know? So when somebody
she was formed and shaped in this society that we live in. The society has been formed and shaped and influenced for that type of thinking. They
Absolutely.
Say dog is a man's best friend. Now,
exactly.
Michelle didn't author that, but she's a victim of that.
But she authored her words that you girls, and that's a fact. And she had a dog.
Oh, yes.
And that, so she authored that. But see, you know, every time we identify ourselves as black and brown and reverse segregation, people of color, we erase the knowledge of self that the leader of the lost found nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad, wanted us to know. And Carter G. Woodson said, if a race has no history, if it has no worthwhile tradition, it becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world and stands in danger of being exterminated. And Reverend Dr. Prophet King said, we've got to get the language straight. We've got to get the language straight. When we started calling children kids, a kid has no gender. It's neither a male nor a female. It's a baby goat. So spiritually speaking, just that K word removes the identity of male and female, because teachers used to come into the classroom and they would say, good morning, boys and girls. But then when that language changed, there was no boys and girls anymore. And so now the laws are saying you can't say breastfeeding. You must say chest feeding. Well, milk comes from a breast. It does not come from a chest. And we seem to have just going along to get along with these Solomon and Gomorrah doctrine. Obama, he swore on a Bible book, and because two Bible books, as a matter of fact, one belonged to Lincoln and one belonged to Dr. King. So those were old Bible books, and they had the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments said, honor your mother and your father. Now, same sex can be married, but they can never be honored as mothers and fathers, because to be same sex, you got to be two daddies and two mamas. And so you can never be honored as mothers and fathers. This is not gay bashing. This is truth telling. And we have gotten away from the truth, and that is what our big problem is. We've got to go back to sanity, because this new normal is insane.
It is not normal. It is artificial. It is not normal. And let me lend some commentary concerning identity. You know, words are very important. Words take you somewhere. Words are containers of ideas, and ideas shape our behavior. Now, there was never a question concerning our skin color. That was not the argument. No one denied that we have melanin in our skin. No one denied. That was not the argument. We have been taken off of the true argument. The argument was that you are not a human being, that you are an animal in human form. You are not a complete soul. You are not human. So I have coined this phrase, say it loud, I'm human and I'm proud. Black worked for so long, but that is no longer useful to us now. Black does not denote an origin. God does not denote a laudable characterization or a forming entity inside of us as an identifier. We are human. Say it loud. Let everyone know I'm human and I'm proud. And if we return back to human behavior, it is already clocked within us. If we can shut the messages down that takes us away from our humanity, then we can begin to put those blocks in place that build human beings, not a hot mama, not a cool daddy, not a pimp, not a thot. I have gone to Walmart, and I'm quite yard seeing it, and grandmothers are competing with their daughters as to how much flesh they can show. Because that's where the emphasis has been put. The value of a human being has been placed on the outside. But the value of a human being is the inner content, the honesty, the truthfulness, the innocence. You know, in Islam, we are to return back to innocence, the innocence of Adam, the innocence of Adam. And I was thinking this morning, I said, now, I hear that language, and in a lot of cases, we think innocence means naivety, to be naive. But no, that innocence means that I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. I'm not guilty of being a liar. I'm not guilty of being a thief. I'm not guilty of those various crimes against humanity. I am innocent. Adam was innocent. Return back to innocence, not naivety. But do not become guilty and take part in those things that turn down the human being in society. So we have a unique opportunity. We have a unique opportunity to truly establish civilization. It begins with civil behavior. You cannot have a civilization. Yes, ma'am, please.
And then we know that. Too.
Yes. Well, Mama, do you go ahead with your question first?
Well, he was saying that we were innocent. It is written in the Black History Bible book whose hero is a woolly-haired man with brass-colored feet to match his brass.
There we go.
Written. It is written, unless you humble yourself and become as a little child, you adults will not enter into the kingdom. Now, what happens is people will say, you treat me like a child. Well, if the child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and you've got to model yourself after that child here on earth, because as you said, he's innocent, he's blameless, that you won't enter in. So there's something wrong with the way that you are treating children, and that is where it must begin. We have got to correctly teach our children. We have got to train them up in the way that they should go. And what we have been doing is training them up in the wrong way. Oh, baby, shake your money maker and dress in our children like the slave owners used to dress them. They would take a baby sitting on a little black baby, I saw this, sitting on a potty chair So she was a baby. She was sitting on a potty chair. They had her with great big dangling earrings coming from her ear, big red lipstick on her little lips, and they had her with fishnet black hose stockings on her legs. So this baby, this little black baby sitting on a potty chair, was a fully sexually ripe human being. And this is what they thought. There was no sanctuary based on age. There was no sanctuary because you were a movable property thing. You had to be a movable property thing called chattel so that you could be handed down as an inheritance for your descendants of slave owners, so that their children could have generational wealth, which they have today, and we could have generational poverty, which we have today. But it all goes back to words and how was it in the beginning. In the beginning, we were told to do one thing, be obedient. And that is where the whole breakdown in civilization is. I disagree that Adam was blameless. No, Eve was blameless because she did try to represent. She said, we're not supposed to go there. God said, so obviously she had her own instructions. We're not supposed to be playing with, messing with that middle portion of the body, that genitalia area. If it was about what you ate, fig leaves would have been on your mouth. It was what you heard, fig leaves would be sticking out your ears. It was what sex, X marks the spot that you were dealing with, that genitalia knowledge, knowing that that they were grown, made grown. So it was Eve who tried to represent, but she was tricked and she was beguiled and she was coerced into her actions. And when she shared them with Adam, because she was not programmed to lie, what did he do? He said, well, God must have lied because you are still alive. And he said, if we mess with that area, we would surely die. So Adam sinned on purpose. That was tricked into
you. Know,
you got to go to break, and then we can come back. So what do you think?
You know, you know, Sister Ada, what you just shared is the nucleus of the battle between the male and the female. Biased men that had something against the female, I don't know whether it was jealousy or whatever, I can guarantee you they wrote that. That is not of God. Biased men wrote that into scripture and said, here, this is from God. And now I have heard it and said, yeah, we wouldn't have all these problems in the world if it wasn't for the woman.
Absolutely.
And we accept that. And that has framed how we feel, our emotions, our judgments, based upon something introduced as scripture that is not from God. See, you just pointed to, praise be to God, you just pointed to the nucleus of why we have this invisible war between the male and the female.
Right,
we
because the two were supposed to be one.
And
the two were supposed to be one,
yeah,
and they were both blessed, and they were given dominion, and they were both told to be fruitful and multiply because you needed one in order to have the other. So it's the son of woman.
We need to erase from our mind. We need to erase from our mind this competition between the male and the female. We need to erase that. We are to operate as one soul. The soul has within it the
Guys, we gotta take a break when we
the,
talk how do we make that happen? How do we bring the unity?
I figured we would. I figured
you
we
start
would.
With the
but I'm getting right to the hub of the problem.
Absolutely. Well, that
Earth
is
Day,
the
birthday.
All right. Yeah, let's talk
Earth
about
Day
that.
Birthday.
Yes. Well, we'll be right back to talk about that right after this quick break. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll be right back. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Stoops. Tuesday, Self-Care with Jody. Wednesday, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Serena Hanif. Thursday, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Friday, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturday, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Donna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. Naima Latif, along with my co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family. And we, earlier this first hour had a men-only discussion on anger and talking about how we have been impacted by the way our parents raised us, the way the society treats us, and now it comes down to the reality that there is an unspoken war between the males and females that keeps us from healing from the hurt. And we're realizing that the foundation is the erroneous beliefs we've been taught in our religion. God is not hostile toward any particular gender. And those who write a book and say God said so are only expressing their own anger. So if we're believing what we're told, that women are responsible for the fall of humanity, or that women are being punished for their sin by bringing forth children in pain, if we're believing that, then we're not fixing the problem, which is an underlying resentment. And why does it exist? When we were made, you can look at our bodies and see we were made to join together as one. That's what it takes to reproduce life. So why is there hostility, and why have we allowed it? I think
unmuted.
Dr. James Enyeke had quoted a quote from Dr. King, nobody can ride your back unless it's bent. Well, women, if we're talking about being oppressed and mistreated by men, why are our backs bent? Why have we for centuries allowed this? We have the opportunity to teach our children love and acceptance and empowerment. Why have we allowed this misteaching to be a part of what we continued on? So that's the question. Why can't we end this war between the sexes? Because we can't end any other problem we have until we fix it. How do we fix it? That is the problem. So we certainly wise elders on to talk about that. So now one of the things I'm hoping to do, there's a book that I've read entitled Jesus, My Autobiography, and I'm looking to bring the author on. I've talked about this book every now and then. I'm looking to bring the author on. She's doing a retreat now in Sedona, but I really want to bring this book to the forefront because it in shocking ways, exposes a lot of the untruths that are in the Bible and all the misogynistic, women-hating beliefs that have come into our religion. Words from Jesus explaining exactly what happened and what his life actually meant, which I think would dismantle a lot of the women-hating beliefs that we have. But then we have men who would not want to hear that because they're holding on to it. So, Brother Kareem, let me ask you this. What would happen if men let go of the idea of one gender being superior over another? What do men fear would happen if women were truly equal in all senses of the word and every human being can develop themselves however their skills allow? What do men fear would happen if there were true equality, in your opinion?
Well, first off, the man has been formed in an abnormal pattern of thinking, an abnormal value system. What do we think would happen? First, we have to correct both the male and the female at the same time. God didn't make two souls. He made one soul. The soul that is within the male is the same soul that is within the female. So we have to correct what has happened to our soul. Anytime you accept something as sacred, basically, here, this is from God, and you accept that, it enters your soul. You accept that with your soul, with your intellect and your soul. Then that forms you. That forms the society in which we live. I'm stating that men have lied by way of scripture to elevate themselves. And until we have the courage, we shouldn't be so cowards. We're afraid to upset the status quo. Afraid to say, wait a minute, hold it. Let's examine everything upon which we have established our lives. Everything. Because this system is not working for the human being. And it begins in scripture. But do we have the courage to do that? Or do we just want to go along to get along and accept that these things are from God? The Quran comes to state emphatically what is from God and what is not. That's one of its purposes. It is a criterion of judgment. It's a criterion of judgment.
You know, Brother Kareem, just like biblical teachings, you also had men who took the words from the Holy Quran and turned it in its interpretation to also be misogynistic and hostile toward women. So we have the same effect in Islam, because of the hearts of the men that interpret the scripture and their intention to keep women subservient. So there is no religion on this earth that disease of misogyny, hatred of women, has not crept into, not a one. Not because God...
I'm saying examine our perception. When I say everything, I mean everything, not accept someone's cultural norms and call that Islam, not accept someone's culture and it masquerades as Islam. We have to have the courage to investigate. When I say everything, I mean everything. Even our interpretation of the Quran, that is why we are learning to read the book for ourselves. There is an all-out effort among us. We are learning the original language. It is Arabic Fusha, the highest level of the Arabic language, and even Arabs have to study that. They have to study that. So we are learning to read the book for us, not what a translator says. May God bless the true and honest translators.
I have another question, because Mama D, you mentioned something that I think is at the crux of this conflict. We have been distorted in our understanding of sexuality. Now, there's another book that I'm hoping to bring forth, and I've mentioned it before, and the book is entitled Making Love to God, Pathways to Divine Sex. And one of the things beliefs about sex are so twisted in that we equate our genitalia and our reproductive process with sin, which with wrong, with something dirty and undesirable. And it's a twisted concept which does not allow us to have a healthy understanding of life. It is twisted.
Absolutely.
If the fear is women that she might create some sexual energy or excitement, then the desire is to repress, suppress, and control that, which is a twisted thought. And that is what has been part of our religious thinking.
I'm so glad that we have got to read it for ourselves, because there it is. in that Black History Bible book, first of all, there is no J in the Hebrew alphabet. All the J's were Y sounds. And if we get back to day numbers, everybody is just has this amnesia, this worldwide amnesia when it comes to the day six when human beings were made. And the language changes. It changes from a sovereign God to a family God. And we are in the image and likeness of male, female, and child, in the image and likeness of a family. That is the basic Trinity. But what happens is it says very plainly, let us, now he's calling in the family, make man in our image after our likeness. And then he goes on to say male and female. And he says created he them, and guess what? He blessed them. The female got blessed. The male got blessed. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. Because at the end of the day, it takes sperm and it takes egg. Even if you try to mix them in a test tube, it's still to create a human being that sperm and egg must meet. And he blessed them and he told them to be fruitful and multiply. And he gave them dominion over the earth. But we don't want to accept that equality that's written right there. We want to go over three or four chapters and start talking about, oh, boy, there's no man to till the ground. Well, you were the male and female, the Lord God that was supposed to till the ground. That was your job. But you created you somebody, escaping your responsibility to do your work. And that person got a hold to the knowledge, and now you're the slave and he's the master. What about that?
So that, you know, so let me speak on the subject of sex. Can I just complete this statement here concerning sex? The devil have dirtied up sex. The devil has introduced concepts and ways of thinking that he is nasty or aberrant behavior. But sex is all around us. Look at a flower. A flower displays its sex organ. When it opens up and we're looking down into that flower, that is the sex organ of that beautiful flower. A bee comes and derives nectar from that flower. The bee go to other vegetation, and it sheds what it has picked up from out of the flower, and it helps other vegetations grow. And from that nectar, we have honey. Even the bears like honey. The vegetation is growing. So if we see sex at that level, that is how we procreate. It is not the Satan has made it a shameful thing, have made it a aberrant behavior. But all around us, is the process of reproduction, Look at the creation and get instruction from it.
That's true. And no other species has twisted beliefs about reproduction except human beings. And that is something we have to look at ourselves. Why can't we see the beauty in it instead of creating something shameful? Well, we've got joining us our Friday host, our sister of the microphone, Viata Moran Rising. Thank you so much for being with us. We're having this follow-up conversation to our men-only discussion, and one of the things we're looking at is somehow we have this unspoken war between the sexes. How do we make it end, especially since it seems to be supported by all of our religious teachings? What is your thought on that, my sister?
Grand Rising. Greetings to Mama D as well. I think that's who I heard.
Yes.
Brother Christine. Thank you for this discussion. And I had so many things. You know, we're selling. We got three offers on this place.
Oh, wow.
We have activities just beating up just like I've never known before. So anyway, it was a busy morning.
I can imagine.
And thank you for the topic, Naima. You know, as I listen to people like Gabor Mate, who's the expert on addiction, I see more and more that the behavior that is functional, that is conflicting, that is egomaniac type behavior is tied in to our childhood. Because every addiction that I've seen in my family and in friends, co-friends, it goes back, when I talk to people, when I look deeper, it goes back to childhood feelings they have. So just the fact that you bring up sex and that conversation, I can give a personal testimony of anger. Because I know the men were talking about anger earlier, right?
Yeah.
And I remember the one thing that made my ex-husband, who we've been divorced now for about 4 years, but we were married for almost 40 years. The thing that made him angry was when I denied him his sex.
Wow.
It came to a point for me where as I grew and grew in my meditation and my governance, I became more spiritually minded. So I was looking for something in the bedroom that, you know, was mirroring spiritual energy exchange. You know, Kwame talks about the real
spiritual energy exchange
versus this mechanical activity that I learned from the time I was 15 when I lost my virginity. And onward, you know, into your 40s and 50s, and you still have the same mind mechanical. So anyway, my husband would get angry, and finally was really angry when I left the bedroom at the end of our marriage, because he wasn't getting his drugs. The sex is a drug for a lot of men, and that's part of the challenge or the problem that we're looking at today, where men are getting angry, whether it's the sex, the alcohol, the meth, the cocaine, and all the number of the pornography, all the number of stimulants outside of ourselves that our parents taught us to look at. Basically, you know, we could go back in childhood and say we watched our parents who were alcoholics, right? Most of our generation, baby boomers especially, we can point at least one parent that was looking to alcohol, a drug, for pleasure, for solutions, for all of that. So I look at it nowadays as we've got to heal our addictions, to have healthy spiritual partnerships with a man or a woman, whatever your choice, whatever. We just want to have peaceful relationships at this point, because we're in this pandemic. I know it's teaching me what I need to have peace and what other people need to have harmony and to have health. All those things, this pandemic should be teaching all of us to reprioritize our lives and decide what's really valuable, what's really important. Sex, yeah, but are you using it as a drug? Then that's not going to last very long, especially with the woman on the woman. Unless the woman's using it as a drug, too, then you're going to have a dysfunctional relationship for a while, and then you're going to have anger and bitterness, and all that's going to come out, because when you listen to the experts on relationships and energy and all that, Eckhart Tolle was talking about something last night I was listening to, about when we have traumas like we're in right now with the pandemic, you're meant to go deeper. You're meant to go deeper in your meditation and your beliefs and your thoughts. And if you don't do that, you're going to suffer. With all this turmoil coming at us, fear. Everybody's worried about the future. Everybody's worried that they're going to get a disease. And if we don't go deeper and ask the source, our creator, and get out of religious minds, you know, we got to stop looking at the Bible or the Quran as a literal book or literal actual activity, and it's more of metaphors and allegories and symbolism, and then take that, I believe, into our meditation to help us really develop spiritual partnerships with everybody, whether it's your sister, your mother, your brother, your husband. There are spiritual partnerships that need to be developed that bring us into a better relationship, I think, with ourselves and then our creator and everything around us. So that's my thought as I was speaking.
Mm. You know, one thing
we have a caller on this line.
Well, you know, Brother Kareem, one thing Ziyada said I think we have to look at, and that is the desire to control women's sexuality, because we have been kind of used as the physical drug. And, yes, you know, our sexuality is designed to release endorphins and heal our bodies. It is supposed to be a healing element, but if it's misused or there's attempts to control and suppress people so that you can kind of use them as a thing, because that's what they did to us in slavery. That's why they shipped so many of us over here. If that has been the relationship between males and females, that's the thing that has to be admitted, acknowledged, and corrected, because that's what's driving that wedge between us. We want to control you as the sex objects that we want to use to make ourselves feel better. So we want you to be a non-consensual.
Naima?
Say. Isn't that what they did to slavery? So,
you know, I think we make a mistake. We make a mistake when we accuse each other. When we accuse each other of the mistakes, the errors in our life, we point the finger at each other. It's the woman. No, it's the man. It's the female. No, it's the male. That's a big mistake that continues, that perpetuates
the
exclusion. What I'm saying is that we are all victims. We are victims of an artificial way of thinking. We have been given an artificial construct for our lives, and male and female, Caucasian, African, American, you name it. We are victims of an artificial way of thinking. We are victims. Let's stop pointing the fingers at each other.
So
and let's come to the solution.
How do we take responsibility for changing our thought? Because you're right, it's neither male nor female. It is the unawakened, unenlightened soul, the misguided soul that keeps making these errors in thought. It's an error in thought. And no one makes you turn on the TV and receive that brainwashing. It's a choice. So how do we choose to focus on information that is empowering rather than deceptive? That is our responsibility to do, and that's ultimately the answer.
Join with like-minded people. Get with like-minded people and be committed to being civil to one another. We are going to establish a civilization. Thank you, Naima.
www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany,
Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.